This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, Evan?
Today, I'm going to tell my Lamar Odom story. You guys want to hear the Lamar Odom story?
As long as it's legal and you're not breaking any confidentiality, go for it.
No, it's not. Okay, so Lamar Odom, there's a new documentary on Netflix right now, and I'm in it for like a second. You might see me if you don't blink. Remember, if you don't know my background, I used to be the executive producer of TMZ and TMZ Sports back in the day, and we broke all the stories about
Lamar
Odom.
What do they call him, a tabloid peddler?
Gossip artist. I like to look at my previous life as I was an entertainment news journalist that broke a lot of really good stories.
Yes, you did.
Important stories. But, you know, I was a gossip artist, whatever you want to call me.
Continue.
But whatever. Anyway, yes. Right before my daughter, Sydney, was born, we led a lot of the coverage of the Lamar Odom stuff. Remember, Lamar Odom had like a massive drug overdose, and he overdosed in a brothel in Nevada. And he was found unconscious, and we broke the story. I remember the day that the story broke, the day that he overdosed, I had my bag over my shoulder, my computer bag. We were getting ready to leave. It was a late day. And I had my bag on, and I was getting ready to walk out the door, and I was saying goodbye to everybody. And Mike Walters, my buddy, got a phone call like as I was walking out, and he got all serious, and he's like, blah, 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 and he's like, don't leave. And he like points at me, and I'm like, what? He's like, don't leave. I'm like, okay. And then he goes, stop, stop, stop. I'm like, what? And he goes, Lamar Odom, stop, stop. I'm like, what? And he gets on the phone and he puts the phone and he goes, Lamar Odom's overdosed in a brothel in Nevada right now. Stop. He goes, this is real. And I'm like, okay, put my bag down, get back at my desk. And we all start making phone calls, and we ended up like breaking the story, and we got it up on the website. And then from that moment, we started breaking story. So you're going to ask, what the hell does this have to do with Driven by Purpose? I will tell you, I promise I'm going to get to that point. This actually has a lot to do with Driven by Purpose. So Lamar ended up being, he was hospitalized in Nevada. And then after he was hospitalized in Nevada, they ended up transferring him to Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. Now, during the time that he was hospitalized, now remember, he suffered like all these strokes. Like he basically died. If you watch the documentary on Netflix, they thought he was going to die. I mean, he was so in such bad shape. There were so many doctors that were like, there's no way he's going to come back from this. He was in really, really bad shape. But during that period where he was hospitalized in Nevada to Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, my daughter was born. Remember, Sydney was born at 25 weeks.
Oh, this is right around the same time.
So Sydney, my wife had preeclampsia, which is essentially organ failure. And Sydney was only 25 weeks gestation at the time. And typical gestation is 40 weeks, right? So she was not ready to be born yet. And we were at the hospital, and it was an emergency C-section. I've told that story. It was a horrible, horrible situation. Sydney was emergency C-section at Cedars-Sinai at the NICU. The doctor, at one point, a doctor told me that I should call my parents because there was a really good chance that, or there was a real chance that both my wife and my unborn baby weren't gonna make it. Fortunately, they both made it. Sydney was born at 1 pound 9 ounces. My wife ended up surviving too. My wife was in the hospital for 2 weeks. Sydney was in the hospital in the NICU for 143 days. During the 143-day stay at Cedars-Sinai, Lamar Odom was transferred from the hospital in Nevada to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. Now, during the 143 days that my daughter was in the hospital, she underwent so many emergencies. Like it's like a blur. My body was numb, you know, almost the entire time. We lived there in the hospital, and we called it the Four Cedars because we basically set up a bed and lived at the hospital for like 4.5 months. And one day in particular, Nesidney almost died. I can't even tell you how many times she almost died. You know, when you're born at 1 pound, 9 ounces, your at 25 weeks, your chances for survival are already like super low. And so every day it was just like, is she going to make it through the day? We hope. And then she had heart surgery. And then, you know, if you're familiar with the NICU, you have these things called Brady's and DSATs where your oxygen, your, you know, all your levels are fluctuating and the doctors are scrambling all the time. And she had something called necrotizing endocolitis, which was a really bad infection in her gut. And they had to perform emergency surgery and they had to remove a third of her intestine. And this was all happening at the NICU at Cedars-Sinai. So every day was like the worst day of my life at Cedars-Sinai. I mean, the doctors were great and the nurses were great. And my wife was amazing. And I got a lot of support and I am grateful for that. But every day that I was there, it was miserable. And if you ever had to, you know, be in the hospital with your kid, in the NICU, it's horrible. You don't want to be there and it's awful and you wish you could go. So one day I'm sitting, I had some horrible news and I went to the cafeteria at Cedars and Lamar Odom was up in like the private wing upstairs. And, you know, at this point, you know, I never considered myself a famous person because I'm not famous and I was never like a celebrity, like especially not like the level of Lamar Odom, but I was always recognizable. People would recognize me from TMZ.
I see where the vain aspect of the tee up is coming from. But keep going, yeah. Evan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've seen it at a Mastros. I've seen how they treat him at Mastros Beverly Hills.
It's sometimes you walk around, you know, people are like, hey, I know you. And it's funny because with me in particular, like people always, they recognize me, but they don't really know where they know me from. They're like, ah, where do I know you from? And I'm like, oh, you watch Gossip Television. And then they're like, oh, yeah. But like when you're at Cedars-Sinai, and your daughter is like straddling the line of life and death on the fourth floor. It's like the last place that you want to play that game with people. You're
not trying to get recognized.
No. It's like you don't want to have that conversation. You don't want people to be like, hey, you're the TMZ guy. And you're like, oh, leave me alone. Like, I don't want to talk right now. I'm at the hospital and like my daughter's upstairs. And like this, I just want to get a chicken sandwich and go back up there. But like, so I'm sitting in the cafeteria and I'm like minding my own business and a doctor in scrubs. And I know he was a doctor because they all have like their ID badges on them. And this doctor had his ID badge on and he looks at me and he goes, oh, I know you. And I'm like, okay. And I just like put my head back down. I get back on my phone. He goes, you're unbelievable. And I'm like, what? And he goes, I know why you're here. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, you're here stalking Lamar Odom. I can't believe it. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, man? And he goes, you're here stalking Lamar Odom. I know it. And I'm like, dude, my daughter's dying on the fourth floor right now. What the f*** are you talking about? And he goes, and he turned white. This guy turned white. And he's like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm like, yeah. Like what the fuck, man? And he like turned and he walked away and I turned numb. I was like so mad and angry. And like that guy was embarrassed and he like walked away and I like ordered my chicken sandwich and I went back up and I told my wife, I was like, you're not going to believe what just happened. And she got mad for me and I was mad, but I was also kind of like, I was so torn about how to feel because I'm like, this guy is mad at me because he probably genuinely felt that I was there like stalking Lamar Odom. And he probably really believed that. And he probably thought that he was doing something noble by calling me out. How dare I infiltrate this sacred place to get information on Lamar Odom. And he was going to call me out. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting there like trying to get a sandwich to go back up to sit by my daughter's bedside. And like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And I was like, so I'm still like numb talking about it. Like I flash right back to that moment and where I'm standing face to face with this guy. And I'm like, I get why you want to call me out. I get it. I understand it. It makes sense to me. And I feel like, and I understand why you thought you were doing the right thing. But I also like, man, like
it's a horrible assumption.
Yeah, like don't you have
it's
to
a horrible
presume,
assumption?
Like,
but it's not unreasonable that he would assume that without knowledge of why you're there.
Also, this was at night. Like this was like a 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and I feel, and I don't remember this part specifically, so I might be wrong what I'm saying, what I'm about to say. But I feel like when you're at the hospital, especially in the cafeteria, so when you're on the campus, you have some kind of thing on you, whether it's a badge or a bracelet or something. You have to be checked in.
Yeah, yeah.
So like there was something on my person that showed that like I was approved to be there.
Yeah.
And not only that, but also to get into the NICU, you also had to have like another level of clearance and another badge. So like I had the things on me to show that I was there. And this guy still said that to me anyway. So now not only am I feeling horrible because like I'm just in a place in life at that moment, but now I'm also like being told that like I'm a person because he's presuming that I'm there like stalking Lamar Odom. And I'm like, holy shit. So I go back upstairs and I'm telling my wife and she's upset and I'm upset. And we had a rule, which was like no negativity at the bedside. And so like I had to like just take a deep breath and just kind of woosaw it. Anyway, Lamar Odom ended up being fine. I remember I ended up seeing, it was a miracle, by the way. It was a miracle that he ended up being fine because he's talked about it a million times. So I'm not saying anything that I learned. I never even asked anybody about him in the hospital because I didn't give a shit about him. No offense to Lamar Odom, but the only person whose health I cared about in that hospital was my daughter's. So I could care less what happened to Lamar Odom, but I'm glad he's okay. And he made it. He's defied all odds and he made it and he's fine. And not only that, but he ended up like playing basketball again after that, which is mind blowing that he went from basically being dead to playing professional basketball. He had a tryout with Ice Cube's Big Three League. Anyway, fast forward. So I was doing a show with my friend Tyron Woodley, the former UFC welterweight champion of the world. And we're doing a show one day in Westlake.
Village?
Westlake Village, California. And we're sitting in the lounge of the studio where we're doing the show. And you'll never believe who walks in.
Lamar.
Lamar motherfucking Odom walks right in. And I'm looking at him.
And you didn't know that he was going to be there?
I had no idea he was going to be there. And I'm looking at him. And by the way, he's huge. He's like the biggest person I've ever seen in my life. Big. And I'm looking at him and I'm just like, oh my God. By the way, super nice. Like could not have been nicer. I remember I said, what's up? And I'm like sitting there and I'm debating. I'm like, I have to tell him the story.
You told him.
So I tell him the story. And again.
It's a good story.
Nicest guy. But I tell him the story. I'm like, man, like I was there. You were there. My daughter was there and all this stuff. And he was so high that he could not have given a shit. He was stoned out of his mind. He was like, oh, really? We were at the same hospital? I'm like, yeah, man. And he proceeded to just be stoned out of his mind. I'm like, all right, man, good for you, Lamar Odom. But like now he's doing a show on Netflix, like talking about it. Like that man and all worlds crossed, man. And it was just, what an experience.
So now, the part that you did in the Netflix show.
Yeah.
What is that?
So he's telling his story about how he was a drug addict and he was addicted to crack and he was doing crack all the time. And I think there's a part where like Khloe Kardashian. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you the Khloe Kardashian connection in a second. So Khloe said that like she punched him once because he was all messed up on drugs and she had kind of reached her breaking point with him and all this stuff. And they were showing clips from TMZ with us reporting it because we were leading the charge and all that stuff, which we were really you know, Mike Walters and Gary Trock and Mike Babcock and all those guys at TMZ. I mean, we led the charge on all the Lamar Odom stuff. We were really great. And so they used a clip from our show, and that was before my daughter was born, so I didn't have any gray hair in that clip. I was young and I was young and spry back then, guys. Do you want to hear the Khloe Kardashian connection?
I want to hear it.
Because now there's a Khloe Kardashian connection in my life. Because back then, you know, we at TMZ back in the day, like, we helped discover the Kardashians. Did you know that, Isaac?
I did.
That we were the first people to put the Kardashians on, like, national television. Like, my friend Chad Weiser, who was on TMZ, he was the guy in the Angels hat. He was the first person to really discover Kim Kardashian and put her on the TMZ.com website. And because he thought she was cute. She used to be on the red carpets with, like, Nick, who was the guy that was married to Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey. She dated Nick Lachey. And so she would go out with, like, Paris Hilton and stuff like that. And so Chad would see her on red carpets and thought she was good looking and would put her on TMZ.com. And so that's how she first started getting national exposure, was, like, because of Chad. And then other stuff happened and she got more famous. And I think you know what the other stuff is. Anyway, Khloe Kardashian connection. Khloe is in a relationship with the basketball player. What's his name that she's currently in the relationship with?
Current?
The guy. Yeah, she has a relationship with the basketball player.
I'm so far off of this stuff.
Oh, come on, you guys. You're the worst.
Tristan Thompson?
Yes. Tristan Thompson.
Is she
currently
in a relationship with that guy?
I mean, they have a...
they got a baby.
They have a kid. Yes, they have. Right. Sorry, I left TMZ 6 years ago. I don't keep up on all this stuff.
I'm just guessing.
Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson used to be in a relationship. They still have some sort of relationship.
Co-parents.
They co-parent. They have now. Tristan has a child from a previous relationship that has disabilities, and dances.
I think I knew
at
that
the same dance studio where my daughter dances, called iDance in West Hills. So I've got a connection to Khloe Kardashian, who sometimes shows up and supports Tristan's son, who is awesome and a great dancer, by the way. And then I got Lamar Odom, who I stone told that I got yelled at by a doctor at Cedars-Sinai. I got a connection to all the Kardashians. What a world we live in.
That is your claim to fame, is you are connected to the Kardashians.
What a time. What a world we live in.
We should just do episodes. We should do episodes about Evan's Kardashian connections.
There we go. I'm just saying, man. That's my story about how I got yelled at by a doctor at Cedars-Sinai who just thought I was snooping around and just trying to get dirt on Lamar Odom.
It's a good thing that you weren't there for that reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, that's my big Kardashian Lamar Odom story for the day. I wish I had more to tell you, but again, Lamar Odom was lovely, really nice person.
For the audience out there, Evan will be available to sign autographs for his connections to the Kardashians. If anybody's interested,
that's right.
We'll give you Evan's autograph for a like, a subscribe, a share. Tell everybody you about the show. Tell your friends, and we'll get you an Evan Rosenblum autograph.
That's right. And if you're a doctor, I will say this. And if you I have a question. If you're listening to the show, if you're a doctor, you work at a hospital, you see celebrities. If you see a celebrity and you are a doctor working at a hospital in a professional setting, how do you approach a celebrity? Do you let them know that you know who they are? Have you ever been told, I'm curious if a celebrity is coming into the hospital, if they lay ground rules down with you, like, you know what I mean? Cause I've heard of some celebrities that, like, when they go in, when they're pregnant and they use, like, aliases. And I know, but even they're not pregnant, they're just going in for, like, a surgery and they'll use aliases, right? They'll fake names and stuff like that. I wonder how that all works. Like, are you allowed, if Mick Jagger goes into the hospital for a procedure and he's getting, like, an ACL repair and he's using the name John Johnson, when you are his doctor or a nurse, are you allowed to address Mick Jagger by Mr. Jagger, or are you supposed to call him by his alias?
So, So I'll tell you this. My dad used to work at St. John's Hospital. He was a respiratory therapist, and he, for some reason, had a ridiculous amount of high profile patients. And he, towards the end of his career, he was hired by a doctor who had like a whole extra, at least it was outside of the hospital, very, very, very high profile patients. In fact, he used to take care of Ronald Reagan.
No way.
Yeah. And so Mr. Reagan, Mr. President, or whoever, Mr. Jackson, or Mr. Davis.
Wait, Mr. Jackson isn't Michael Jackson? Get out of here.
Mr. Davis is in Miles Davis. My dad won't listen to his music to this day because he was in the, when he was in the hospital, he was a Miles Davis fan and he died, and he just brings back bad memories.
Oh, no way.
But yeah, he had all sorts of like people like that. And they're just, there's a certain level of discretion. They're normal people when they're in the hospital.
Of course.
They're not famous. You got to do what you got to do, just like you and anybody else. But you don't, can I have your autograph? And none of that stuff.
No. You can't. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't be like in the hospital, but like, you know, I know people that would do that though. I know people that would like ask somebody for an autograph. Like, oh, I'm in here and like, I'm in an intense amount of pain. I'm getting like a massive surgery. And then like the nurse would be like, can I have your, my son's a huge fan. Can I have your autograph? No, you can't do that.
Yeah. They get in trouble for that. That's for sure.
Yeah. But only if, you know, the celebrity says something.
If they say something.
Yeah. But then the celebrity's at a crossroads because it's like, do you turn in your nurse or do you just sign the autograph and go on with your day?
I think there's an appropriate time and place for everything. And when someone's getting treated for whatever their problem is, don't ask for the autograph.
No, of course you don't ask for the autograph.
I think it breaks, but it breaks protocol. Stuck.
Of course it breaks protocol. But my point is, okay, this is the hypothetical then, right? You're about to have like a major back surgery and your nurse recognizes you and asks you for an autograph and you are stuck. You're like, oh, my nurse is asking me for an autograph. I could just sign the autograph and just go along my day. It's going to be fine. Or do I make a stink and now everyone thinks I'm some kind of an asshole?
I don't know. I don't have that problem. So
that's what I'm saying. What do you do? What do you do? It's a tough one, right? Because here's the thought that goes in your head. If you sign the autograph and maybe your nurse likes you a little bit more, maybe you get a little bit special treatment. Maybe you get like an extra like Jell-O cup. Maybe you get like a little, you know, maybe they pay a little bit more attention to you. But if you don't sign it and you're like, hey, come on, that's not cool. Maybe the opposite happens. Right?
Yeah, but also the nurse could be reassigned and you get one that's going to have a higher level of discretion.
Yeah, but everybody talks. It's like any workplace.
Everybody talks.
It's like every workplace, man. And even if you do it in the nicest possible way, like, hey, you know, in a normal setting, I would. I'm just in a lot of pain right now and I can't do it. That can still be translated in the gossip circles to Mike was a dick.
What a jerk.
Mike was a dick. I just asked him to sign my thing and he wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Listen, I hope I'm never famous to where somebody wants my autograph and I have to debate what my action is going to be. And nor will I ever ask anybody for an autograph if they're in a period.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm just saying. It's a tough situation. Anyway, all right. That's going to do it for us here at Driven by Purpose. I hope you enjoyed the Lamar Odom story. That's going to do it. See you next time. Remember, like, subscribe, tell a friend. And you can watch the Lamar Odom story, the docuseries on Netflix. I hear it's really great. All right.
And I hope they become a sponsor one day soon.
That's right. I'm Driven by Purpose. See you next time.
Yeah.